On today's insights, how can you acquire new clients in 2020? What content format is working best on LinkedIn? And we share some data about Facebook's advertising revenue from the past 5 years. Today's episode is brought to you by Haley Marketing Group. If you're like most staffing firms, finding good candidates right now is a major struggle. At Haley Marketing, we have a number of tools that will help you recruit both active and passive candidates, drive more traffic to your job board, and increase applications. To learn more, give us a call at 888-696-2900. This is Insights.
Welcome to Insights, tips and best practices from the insiders at Haley Marketing. Insights will provide you with the tools you need to master your social media, digital marketing, and employer branding. Your hosts for Insights are Brad Biley and Matt Lozar.
What's up? This is Brad Biley, and welcome back to another episode of Insights, the podcast built to help you with your recruitment and digital marketing. As always, I'm joined by Haley Marketing's Director of Recruitment Marketing. He's Matt Lozar. Matt, how are we feeling this week?
We're feeling great. We got some good topics. I'm glad we brought in one of our teammates here because it's not definitely not my area of expertise. It's something, you know, Brian's going to talk about and really dig into sales lead generation because we've heard recruitment's an issue, but it started to flip a little bit.
Yeah, we've certainly seen that start to shift to a more client-focused than candidate-focused, and we continue to see that across the staffing and recruiting industry. Matt, I'm ready to get started. You ready to go?
Let's go.
All right, let's get to the show.
Content Blueprint.
At this time, we'd like to welcome on Brian Vaccaro, Haley Marketing's marketing educator. Brian, welcome to Insights.
Thanks, Brad. Thanks, Matt. Glad to be here.
Brian, for our newer listeners, why don't you educate us real quick on what it is you do on a day-to-day basis here at Haley Marketing Group and how you really assist our prospects with their internal marketing and recruitment marketing.
Yeah, perfect. So here at Haley Marketing, every single day, I'm looking at our clients' goals with them. We're working through their plans, their strategies, and trying to help make them more successful for the end of the year. So we're looking at client side generation. We're looking at how to get better candidates. So I am working a lot of here with Matt here as well on that recruitment marketing side of it as well, but really working through their goals to find out the best way to help achieve them through a marketing standpoint for the year.
Well, guys, for our first topic here, we're going to talk about acquiring new clients in 2020. Brian, I'm sure you get this a lot in that new prospect, really onboarding process where you're talking to hundreds of staffing and recruiting firms every year to really find out what it is that we can assist with from a marketing standpoint to help acquire these new clients. So I'm going to pass it to you, Brian. Tell us what it is and where somebody can get started when they're thinking about generating more of that prospect traffic, more clients in 2020.
Definitely. So from my point of view, we really like to look at the very first thing really is, when is that client looking for, or when is that staffing and recruiting client looking for a candidate that year? So for most companies, they're not looking to hire constantly. So when we're looking at developing a strategy, the very first thing we need to do is we need to find out how often their ideal prospect will be looking. And then that helps dictate our entire strategy, because if they're looking on an ongoing basis, then we need marketing all year round.
Sure.
Or we could potentially get away with a 3-month campaign because we know they're always looking. But if they're only looking for maybe 1 week a year, 1 month a year at most, if we don't know what that month is, we have to market all year round. Otherwise, we may never catch that prospective staffing company right when, or that client right when they need it.
I think volume's important too, right? If you're an executive recruiter and you only need one individual, right? So you're targeting a client who might have a hiring need of one. That's drastically different than looking for a potential client who has a hiring need of 1,000. That marketing messaging becomes different. All of that verbiage shifts a little bit differently, and how you can help them in address and tackle their pain points shifts as well.
Definitely. One of the first things you want to find out as well is the value proposition of the staffing and recruiting company. Because at the end of the day, if we don't know why companies want to work with them, no matter the size of the candidate pool they need to pull in or the amount of clients that they need to work with, if they don't know who they are fundamentally, we can't help create unique marketing for them that'll help them stand out and really create that wow for them.
So the first step of the process for you, Brian, is understanding hiring need. So as a staffing and recruiting firm reaches out to a potential prospect, you know, they really need to understand what that prospect's hiring need is going to be. Is it seasonal or is it annual? Is there a whole demand that lasts the whole year, or is it kind of cyclical? Then we need to understand what kind of volume comes into that. From there, let's get kind of tactical here, guys, and let's think about how staffing and recruiting firms can get their messaging in front of the right prospects in 2020. Brian, what are you passionate about right now? What do you think is working really well for the individuals and the companies that you've had the opportunity to talk to?
So going directly into that very first pain point, or that very first consideration of when is that company looking, I really like some pay-per-click advertising, because fundamentally we have this really cool pay-per-click advertising program called Beat the Competition. And what we can do with that is that when a client to the staffing company is going and evaluating staffing companies, there's a really good shot that at that moment they have a need. So we're able to actually take a PPC program, target people visiting your competitor sites down to a specific URL, and then when they go back to Google's ad network, well, the 2+ million sites, we're able to put your branding straight in front of them. So let's skip all of the when are they looking, let's skip all of that and go straight to we know they're looking because they're looking at our competitors, they're established, and let's get in front of them. This works really, really well with newer clients or clients that maybe haven't done a lot of outward branding, that people may not know who they are in a crowded marketplace.
I love that PPC strategy in the sense of it's very similar to billboard marketing. You're thinking about who is going out on the internet. The answer is everyone. If they've been to your competitor's website, we're triggering that via URL, and then we're showing them ads for your organization and how you can assist with their challenges instead of your competitors. So every month, every year, your competitors are spending thousands of marketing dollars to also attract the same client pool that you're going after. We're stealing that traffic and routing it back to your URL. I love that idea, Brian.
Yeah, and I know for a lot of our staffing clients out there and our recruiting clients out there, one of the major reasons that they're losing clients on a regular basis is their inability to fill a job. And I'm going to touch on this a little bit later, and I will get to that at one of my later points here. But when that company eventually, because there will be a point where they can't deliver that candidate, they are now also seeing that brand for you. So that's opening the door for all you have to do is just a tiny PPC budget in comparison to the usually gigantic client acquisition budgets that are needed. For a relatively small budget per ad, you can now get your brand in front of these prospective clients.
Sure. So we talked PPC. What else you got for us?
So I would be a little bit remiss by not talking about integrated direct marketing or integrated direct mail, because at the end of the day, this really is one of the best ways to drive client growth or to drive prospects. But the problem is that it's usually time intensive. It's usually cost intensive. And if you have a smaller team, then, or a small sales team in particular, it may not get done, because you can't just look to your sales team and say, here's another 20 hours of work to do this week, and you still have to do your old job. It's just not going to work. So end of last year, we actually put together a pillar content strategy that we've been working with some of our clients on. And it kind of takes that same core principle of really high value content that would be present in a direct mail campaign, but take it and shift it directly to a digital only strategy.
I love the idea. I think if you're looking at reaching prospects, going back to the roots and going back to the foundation of let's send a really nice postcard that says what services you provide, great way to stay top of mind. Now, yes, that postcard might get tossed in the trash, but what if we send 13 of them over a very systematic approach? We do that direct mail approach, and we're talking about pain points. We're talking to that hiring manager's pain points. What Brian then alluded to is pivoting that to a digital landscape using something called pillar content, which might be a really high-end ebook or a really great white paper that's gated behind a form. Once an individual, a prospect, fills out that form saying, I want this information, your team springs into action, reaches out and says, hey, it looks like you might have a need for X. We can really help with this. I love that idea, Brian. You got a third point for us?
So yeah, the last one here, and I kind of alluded to it earlier, is actually recruit more candidates. And this is one of the things that our CEO, David Cerns, keeps telling me over and over again, is that when the market demands one thing, whether it's clients or candidates, the best thing to do is to load up on the opposite. So the reason here is that when you eventually do find that client, you need to make sure you have the candidate to fill that job. And that's the most important thing. Just like a lot of your competitors might be failing to fill these positions, you need to make sure that you have that qualified person when you get that once in a million prospect in the door that you need a while.
I might stay on that topic too and say that if you're looking for potential clients, you should really skill market your top candidates. So send out an email to those prospects or to clients that you've worked with in the past, maybe even current clients, and send them an email of the top three candidates that are in your talent pool here and say that they're ready to get started next week. Say that they're ready to get to work in a month, but really showcase that you have the talent when that individual is looking to hire. You're ready with great individuals who are ready to go to work tomorrow. I think it's a great idea, Brian.
Yeah, and just kind of jump off that a tiny little bit. When that skill marketing idea, the redeployment rate in the staffing recruiting industry is quite poor.
Sure.
So this is another great way to make sure your candidates know that you care about them, that you're trying to find them their next job weeks or months at a time of their placement being finished so that they know they're taken care of, and you're redeploying it so you're saving all the marketing dollars and making effectively more profit for the company.
So how can you acquire new clients in 2020? We broke down three tips right here on Insights for you, courtesy of Brian Vaccaro, Haley Marketing's marketing educator. The first, deploy some pay-per-click advertising through Google's ad network. The second, really think about deploying an integrated direct marketing campaign and maybe even pivot that to an integrated direct campaign that lives on digital. Think through that format and how you might be able to integrate that direct mail to what you're doing in the digital landscape. And then the third, when you need more clients, generate more candidates first. And if you can, skill market those candidates to your potential list of clients. Brian, before we let you go, I got one more question for you. I know you are a giant slot car fan. Talk to us a little bit about your passion and how you enjoy slot car racing and kind of what you like to do outside of the office here.
Yeah, thanks, Brad. So I've actually been doing this now since I was a little kid, and I started out in a place pretty close to where I live now, very oddly, but it's really cool to actually take something and it could be very minimalistic. So think of buying a bare bones model with basically everything unpainted, and you put that all together, and then you're able to literally put it on a wood or plastic track and it zips around. And that achievement that you can get from just taking something so simplistic and putting stuff together and being successful. And then the icing on the cake is always beating other people too. So they're doing the exact same thing as you, but you know you did it better.
Well, hey, Brian, I want to thank you for coming on Insights and sharing your insights with us this week. If you have any questions about your marketing or how you can improve your recruitment marketing in 2020, we encourage you to reach out to Brian Vaccaro on LinkedIn. You could shoot him a message there. Or if you're also a slot car fan, feel free to reach out and connect with him on that as well.
Social reach.
What content format is working best on LinkedIn? I'm looking at Matt as I say that. He's shaking his head left to right. It's almost as if he's at a loss of words. You know, Matt and I, we put out a ton of content on LinkedIn personally. And really, Matt, I think what we should talk about here is through personal means. If we think about personal channels, personal accounts on LinkedIn, what content format is working best? Before we get into that and we get into your recommendations, your ideas, let's break down what a content format is. So for an individual who's listening right now on Insights, as you're listening, content format might be a video. It might be a picture. It might be just a link post to a blog article. It could be a text post where all you're doing on LinkedIn is sharing your thoughts, almost like a mini blog, but just running some text. When we think about content format, we're thinking about the media that you're using, the medium that you're using. So that could be video. It could be images, it could be text, or really could be a link. So Matt, I'm going to pass it to you. As our Director of Recruitment Marketing here at Haley Marketing Group, you're putting out a ton of content through your personal LinkedIn channel. What content format's working right now?
Brad set the stage really well here, and the thought that came to my mind before I get into some notes here is the last 12 to 18 months on LinkedIn really emphasizes and shows how much of a moving target it is. We've seen this with Facebook. We've seen it with Instagram. Now on LinkedIn, it's, you know, 12, 18, 24 months ago, video was fantastic. Our views would be 1,000, 2,000 a video.
Sure.
You know, I looked at the last 6 months because that's all the view data LinkedIn had before our recording here. And, you know, we're in that 500-600 range. Could LinkedIn be changing what counts as a view? Could be. But it's looking at that. It's looking at something as simple as text posts that I think work really well right now. It's, I'll post a Monday motivation quote and get 1,000 views. I think something else that you talked about there is almost that mini blog is working really, really well.
Yeah.
And you've got to take a little bit of time to think about it, but a couple hundred words is creating engagement through likes and comments, and LinkedIn's algorithm seems to like that and push it out to more connections in and really out of your network too.
So for me, Matt, content on LinkedIn, and I've said this before on Insights, is very similar to the evening news. And you need to think about your target audience. They're looking at LinkedIn. They're scrolling through all day. And we need to captivate their attention in different ways. If you think about the evening news, some people might get that on social media. Some might watch a video and watch their favorite anchor talking about that news. Some might read the newspaper. Some might want it in very digestible, quick-to-read bullet points. And when I think about what content is working best on LinkedIn, and I was looking at my data here as well, as Matt had alluded to, some videos do really well, some don't. Some blog posts will get a good click-through rate, some don't. I could post a picture of a book I'm reading and get 20, 30 likes on it, a bunch of comments, some don't. It really comes down to, I think, the content and the root of what you're posting. You know, if you're posting junk, no one's going to want to consume it anyways. You think about a TV show that gets canceled after 2 episodes, it's because no one cares. Shows get renewed on TV because there's an audience, people are passionate about it, they start to follow it, they watch it more, they tell their friends, and it grows and it snowballs. You know, LinkedIn and even maybe Facebook are looking at how can we captivate the audience, how can we get people to stay here. So for me, what content format's working best on LinkedIn? I'm going to kind of pass this around a little bit and say it's a variety. It's being consistent on LinkedIn, using LinkedIn, but using everything, trying video, trying link posts, posting just an image of the book you're reading or what you're doing and what you're seeing, being personal there, and then also just having that quick dialogue and having that conversation.
It's like Brad read my notes and you said, you know,
I did not,
I did. The consistency was one of my big takeaways, and even personally, I haven't been as consistent as I wanted to, and I think delivering that type of content consistently is very well. And when I started the Matt Minute videos about 2 years ago, you know, it wasn't in my head, but I was at a vendor visit about in May 2019, and they talked about how the video was just consistent. And I think if you have a consistent content plan, which is something we've said a lot on Insights for Your Own Staffing Agency, it's, you know, my takeaway is Monday morning, a Monday motivation text quote, you know, Tuesday, maybe have a video, Wednesday, promote this insights, yep. Thursday, maybe have a really good thought, and then just let it go. Because as Brad said, it's similar to the content on your site. If you produce 4 blogs a month, all 48 blogs aren't going to be hits.
Correct.
So you increase that lottery ticket chance to get that unicorn-ish type content. And, you know, maybe it's something I shared that talked about, you know, kids sharing at a hockey practice, or, you know, Todd Lewandowski, our podcast partner here, had a picture of me and him from Halloween that had like 1,500 views on LinkedIn.
Yep.
And LinkedIn organic traffic is very good right now. So it's staying the course, being consistent, seeing what works, and just the really good content that you talked about that wins at the end of the day.
Yeah, and I think that's a great way to wrap up this segment, Matt, is what content format is working best on LinkedIn? It really comes back to consistency. It comes back to being human on LinkedIn, adding value to your network, adding value to your connections. There is no marketing silver bullet, believe it or not. There's no silver bullet when it comes to content. We can't tell you right now you need to double down on X because it will have a substantial increase in what you're doing. Because if we tell you that, the algorithm shifts, we're outdated in a week. What we're telling you here is that you should experiment with different forms of content, and you should create that content strategy that involves posting pictures, video, those link posts, those thought-provoking Monday motivation. Sprinkle in everything. Find what works best for you, but among everything, stay consistent with your schedule.
Seen and heard.
Just this past week, I saw a tweet from CTV National News that broke down Facebook's ad revenue each year for really the past decade. Now, for sake of this segment, Matt and I are going to share some thoughts and ideas into what that means for your staffing and recruiting firm. But before we get to that, I want to share a bit of data. So if we look at Facebook's ad revenue each year, starting with 2015, $17.1 billion collective ad revenue for Facebook. 2016, $26.9 billion. 2017, $39.9 billion. 2018, $55 billion. And an analyst estimate for 2019, because it hasn't been compiled yet and released for Q4, is $69.4 billion if we look at Facebook's ad revenue for each year. So what does this mean for your staffing and recruiting firm? Well, it means if you want to advertise on Facebook, you might have to open up your pockets a little bit deeper. You know, if we think about the competition level and we think about what we're doing on Facebook, the dollar that was working in 2015 isn't getting stretched as far as it is in 2019, 2020 now. So Matt, I'm going to pass this to you. From a recruitment marketing standpoint, we've discussed on Insights that Facebook ads are incredibly impactful. You know, does this data scare you? Should we pivot this money elsewhere, or should we continue rolling into Facebook and joining the others that are advertising on the platform?
This is interesting because in the last segment, we talked about LinkedIn, and LinkedIn is very organic right now, very similar to where Facebook was 5, 7, even 3 years ago. So the shift is one part that I think is interesting. The other part is, to answer your question, should you spend money on Facebook? I'm going to answer a question with a question and break a rule of, is your audience on Facebook? Sure. If they are, we got to spend money. And from that recruitment side, like, we launched a Facebook recruitment program end of 2015 in re-recruiting. And, you know, that spent about $5 a day. If you're doing that now in 2019, it's your dollar doesn't go as far.
Sure.
It's, as Brad said, it went, I think, from $15 billion to $69 billion. And it's just the literal cost per click is going up. The cost to have your ad displayed, the number of impressions they do, it measures a cost per thousand, CPM, that's going up.
Sure.
It's just the cost of doing business is going up. And if you think your audience is on Facebook, yes, you have to promote it, because we've talked on past episodes of Insights, is organic reach dead on Facebook? I think it was end of October. And it's close to dead, but it's, you know, very single digit percentage of your followers. So if your audience is there and you have the right strategy, it might be the only way to get staffing and recruiting content out there, because you're competing with such compelling content from other industries outside of staffing and recruiting.
I don't know if you saw the light bulb turn on over my head, but you made a comment about how Facebook ads are just a standard cost of business now. That is incredible. I mean, just that little take right there, I think, is a ton of value for every listener. If you're thinking about your annual marketing budget, or even if you're thinking about your annual recruitment marketing budget, think about how that's grown year over year since 2015. As that cost of business grows, so does the cost of business on Facebook. I remember when I started at Haley Marketing Group, I was talking to a client one of my first weeks, and they had said that Facebook's really child's play. You know, Facebook isn't for business. It's not the right avenue. And more importantly, they alluded to the fact that you couldn't really accomplish anything on Facebook. At that time, 7 years ago, Facebook was such an organic play that you could get away with just posting a blog and hoping that people click and come over, or people see a job post. It wasn't as big as it is now, and it was still big then. The cost of business on Facebook has grown as more individuals and as more businesses see the opportunity that lies on Facebook. So we're not saying that you should abandon that and jump ship and go somewhere else. It's just, if you want to compete in the crowded newsfeed that is Facebook, well, then you got to pay for that. You think about, Matt, we've said this before, anybody could have a billboard in Times Square. But for $10, it's not going to be the largest billboard there. It's going to be on the back of a garbage can. It might even be on the bottom of that garbage can. That's the same as a Facebook ad.
I have two points here, and the first one is the thing that you're competing with, kind of like that Times Square analogy is, think about just sports, think about music, as Brad always says, you know, celebrities, the election's coming up where a ton of money is going to get poured into Facebook, So you're competing with that also on the organic and paid side. Like if there's really good organic content, Facebook's going to show that because it keeps people on Facebook and they engage with it. Before you totally shift the budget and get scared and think you can only do paid on Facebook, one area that I think is working well with the right jobs is Facebook jobs organically. If you're posting manufacturing, administrative, call center, you know, that level of job, it's working very well. There was a client we work with, it's a paint producer job, it was some kind of, you know, job in a warehouse, and we did put a little small budget behind it. I think it was $75 or $100. They got 71 applications. And I'm sure some of that was organic, but if you just post jobs organically on Facebook, that content's working very well because I don't think a lot of companies are doing it. You have to be very careful with it. We talked about that actually on our last episode. And that's the one type of organic content I do think is working well for staffing agencies and recruiters.
And again, the premise of this segment is not to scare you into moving those marketing dollars, those recruitment marketing dollars from Facebook and distribute them somewhere else. There is still valid benefit from staying on Facebook. Really, the point of this segment is On Seen and Heard, as we always do, is to chat about something that we're seeing, whether that's directly in the industry or related to digital marketing, recruitment marketing. So as we look at that cost of business growing on Facebook, and Matt, I'm going to probably steal that for one of my presentations coming up here. I love that thought. As we see that growing, what we're challenging you to do is be mindful of what advertising budget you're allocating to Facebook and possibly consider bumping that up. Again, Matt, this might even come back to last week's episode of Insights where we talked about the cost per application. If you're allocating ad dollars to Facebook and boosting jobs, what's the cost per application from that? Are you having strong ROI? If you are, then yeah, you should double down and invest more marketing dollars. That's our show, and thank you for listening to another episode of Insights. If you found this episode valuable, we ask that you please tell just one coworker about it this week. Have a question for us? You could tweet us at Haley Marketing and let us know what you're thinking, or email info@HaleyMarketing.com. And of course, if you need a hand with your marketing or recruitment marketing initiatives, we would love to help. You can check out HaleyMarketing.com to get in touch with our team of marketing educators. For my podcast partner, Matt Lozar, this is Brad Biley. See you next time.